by live stream this morning. Hallelujah. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. We've already had a great time. Sorry you wasn't here for praise and worship. Wake up earlier next Sunday. Praise God. Amen. No, a lot of our people live out of town. Matter of fact, we got people, I think, in the UK that watches us. Praise God. They came over here one time and just wanted to see what a cowboy church looked like. And every so often, we get communications from them, you know, checking on the congregation. Amen. But anyway, be turning in your Bibles to Job chapter 5. People say, man, can anything good come out of Job? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the series the Lord has had us in the last month or so. And listen, if you've missed, I think this is part 5, and this will be the last part. But if you've missed any of the teachings on how to become a godly, or how to establish a godly family, you need to go to the website or go to one of the places. My wife can always correct me. You don't have to go to the website. You can go to Spotify. You can go to YouTube. All of them. Find it. Type in Hill Country Cowboy Church and it'll come up. But listen, what we've been teaching the last 4 weeks and what we're going to teach today, we're going to conclude that teaching today. It is vital not only to produce and establish a godly family, but in order to establish a godly family, how many of you know you have to be a godly parent? To establish a godly church family, each of us have to work on ourselves to being a godly person. How many of you would agree with that? Amen. And we've learned over the last few weeks, and we learn here all the time, that in order to be a godly person, you have to let the Word of God be your moral and your spiritual blueprint. How many of you know that? You can't be a godly person without God's Word being involved in your life. You can be a good person, so don't take me wrong. You can be a good person, but you cannot be godly without God. Can you say amen to that? Last week we learned that every Christian, that's you, me, all y'all watching by live stream this morning, that some of us at some time or another will make excuses why we do not do God's word. That was a tough message. How many of you really loved that message last week? Two of us. Amen. Because we need to stop making excuses. And I'm not going to re-preach that whole message. But we need to quit making excuses why we cannot serve the living God. Can you say amen? So if you missed that message, download it and listen to it. Praise God. So I'm going to pick up where we left off. I mean, I'm titling the message this morning, Receiving Correction. Receiving God's Correction. How many of us got a little correction last week? I know I did. How many know that nobody really likes to be corrected? I mean, have you ever seen anybody just raise their hand and say, yeah, Pastor, correct me, buddy. I'm ready. Give it to me. No, you don't see that because nobody really likes correction. We find that out in our homes. When Britta goes to correcting me, I don't like it. Amen. How many of you men like to be corrected? Good, we won't have to have an early call for liars. How many of you women like to be corrected? See, then what I'm doing today is I'm preaching to everybody. Because nobody likes to be corrected. But I'm going to show you in the Word of God that if you don't learn to receive correction, you cannot grow spiritually. Amen. Amen. Can somebody type amen? Thank you, Pastor, for telling us that. Hallelujah. Most of us do not like to be corrected. But let me tell you this. When we learn that correction is necessary for our spiritual growth, for you to grow up in Christ. How many of you know God wants us to grow up? How many of you know that Peter did preach the sincere milk of the word. But how many of you know when you get past adolescence or past a baby form, that you should be wanting something besides milk? But I've seen Christians that's been born again longer than I am old. Well, maybe not now. But they get offended when you preach them something harder than the milk. That's why so many churches are full of people, have tens of thousands, because they preach a palatable message. But I was talking to someone this morning, and how many of you know the female only produces milk for a certain time? How many of you know why? Because eventually you need to get on a little bit stronger food. Amen? Amen. Brenda's asked me, she said, baby, we still got babies in the church. Well, they're going to stay babies if I don't preach them the word. All right. How many of you know correction is for our good? How many of you know why? Because it exposes the things in your life and my life that we need to change. That's what God's word does. It exposes things that keeps us from growing in God, keeps us from having a closer relationship with God. Everybody say this with me. Say, correction is for my good. See, God's correction is meant to expose the things, not necessarily to your brothers and sisters and to other people, but God's correction exposes things to you and me. In other words, he will expose to each one of us the things he wants and expects us to change. And the thing is, when he does expose those things, it is important that you and I respond properly to his correction. Can you say amen? Amen. Each of us, as we have grown up in our lives, and listen very closely to me, we've been trained to think certain things. We've been trained by our parents to act certain ways. That's why the first message of this was basically pointed toward the parents to make sure you train your children up correctly. Amen. Because your children are going to do what you train them to do. How many of you know that? How many of you got kids that are grown that they followed exactly in your footsteps, whether they be good or bad? Just me and Brenda? Okay. I wasn't always saved. And my kids followed exactly in my footsteps until they got old enough to make a decision for themselves and say, Dad, Mom, you can live like you want to, but I'm going to live for Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you are already getting your feet stepped on? Hallelujah. Correction is good. Correction is for who's good. Okay, I just want to see if you changed your mind. See, correction, we can't just hear the word. We got to be doers of the word. Amen? And that's where many Christians fall short. They hear the word, and especially in this church, every Sunday. And we talked about this last week. But then they go and make excuses why they can't do what God just told them to do. How many of you made an excuse before? Amen. So if you missed that message, please listen to it. Praise God. Let's move on. Each of us need to be able to receive God's correction and change our way of thinking. Can you say amen to that? You and I have to learn to receive God's correction. You and I have to learn to correct our behavioral patterns and our attitudes, the way we talk, the way we treat other people, the way we treat each other. Getting awful quiet in God's house. I think I'm going to designate just an amen section where I have the chairs wired, and that when you don't say anything, I just push a button. Amen, Pastor. You and I have to learn to correct the way we live. Amen. In other words, you and I have to be willing to receive the correction and change our way, change our direction of going when an area of our life doesn't line up with the Word of God. Why? Because receiving correction and changing our direction is needful. It's needful for our spiritual growth. It's needful for you and I to go where our Heavenly Father wants to take us. How many of you know even Jesus said, not my will, but your will, Father? Jesus knew that he could only, that the Father's will could only be manifested in his life is when he did what his daddy told him to do. How many of you parents like your kids doing what you tell them to? How many of you just openly let them rebel and live their life the way they want to? See, I'm not getting very many hands on the first one, so I just thought I'd give you another option. Amen. How many in here are parents? Amen. Some of the newbies go, that's wisdom. Because normally when I'm getting you to raise your hand, I'm setting you up for the next question. Amen. That's why so many of the regulars don't really want, I don't know if I want to raise my hand or not. He's setting me up. Hallelujah. How many of you know we need to grow up? I hope so. I told our visitors this morning that they're from Wimberley. I said, well, if you come back twice, I know you like the Word of God. I'll get into it more in a minute, okay? Amen. But receiving correction is for our spiritual growth. It's for get us to where God wants to take us. Listen to me. You cannot and will not develop a close relationship with your Heavenly Father and become a mature Christian without occasional correction. Amen. So don't turn away from correction. We all need to learn to embrace it. Can you say amen to that? So let's begin here in Job chapter 5. And I want you to look at this in verse number 17. What is the first word in your Bible? Does everybody have a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, I'll get you one. You need one, young lady? Hallelujah. You can see it on the board, but it's also good to see it in your lap. I'll always have it up there, but we want everybody to have a Bible. Because you don't know if me and that sound booth ain't conspiring to put something up there false. I would never do that. Amen? Job chapter 5, verse number 17. The first word in that is behold. How many of you know when God says behold, he wants you to listen? That means what I'm fixing to say is very, very important. He says, behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. Everybody say, really? God's correction is supposed to make me happy? That's what it says, isn't it? Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you this, it's got to be somewhere down the road. Because when I get corrected immediately, I get mad. Amen. Am I the only one? How many of you ever had your toes stepped on by God and you really didn't like it? Amen. I praise God you didn't get up and walk out of the church. Because this church, we get a lot of correction. Because we're going to grow up in Christ. We're going to be better than we were yesterday. Better Christians. Better parents. Better people. Better husbands, better wives, better children. Can you say amen to that? So my first reaction is never happiness. The Amplified says it this way. It says, happy and fortunate is the man. Now, to all the women in here, listen, that's mankind. That includes you. You're not exempt from what I'm saying. So quit elbowing your husband so he'll pay attention. Says, happy and fortunate is the man or the woman whom God reproves. So do not despise or reject the correction of the Almighty. Now watch this, because here's what happens when we do. Subjecting you to trial and suffering. Wow. A lot of people in here just got the answer to why you suffer so many trials and tribulations. Because you reject God's correction instead of letting it change your life and move you forward. Amen? We're not going to do that no more. I'm going to get you to say amen to that. Notice it says, do not despise or reject God's correction. See, many people take God's correction personally, and this is the truth, because they hear it as it's coming from a man. A lot of people hear it like all the correction is coming from Pastor John when it's coming right off of the page. Hallelujah. They hear it is coming from a man. Don't fall for that trap, my brothers and sisters. Because God's correction is coming straight out of his word. How many of you can see that? It's not coming from me. It's coming from him. Don't shoot the messenger. How many of you have ever said that? Most of us have. Don't shoot the messenger. And don't fall for that trap, because that's a trap of the devil. He wants you to say, well, that's what that preacher says. I just don't believe it that way. Well, you have to believe it like it comes off the page. Amen. Don't read anything into God's word. He says what he means, it means what he says. Can you say amen? In other words, when we hear something from the word of God, and God starts dealing with us about it, maybe our behavior, our attitudes, don't ignore or reject his correction, but allow his correction to fulfill his purpose in your life. And that purpose is to help us, each of us, move forward in our relationship with him. Can you say amen? So when God starts correcting you about an area of your life that needs some changes, you have a decision to make. Are you going to allow God's correction to move you forward with him? Or are you going to allow the correction of God to offend you, even to the point to where you despise the messenger? In other words, you get mad at me because I teach on a subject that may rub you the wrong way. We say it like this a lot of times, that I come up on your porch and I come in, I put my foot in your door and I'm preaching especially to you. So you get mad at me because I'm teaching something that rubs you the wrong way, and then all of a sudden you close the door on learning. In other words, you just shut yourself off. I've had a young man in this church that eventually left because I was preaching against something that he was doing that come right out of the word. And he told me privately, he said, Pastor, just as soon as you said that, I shut the door to hearing you. Well, when somebody shuts the door, I can't open it. You're in charge of the door. You have to keep the door open. Yes, God's word hurts sometimes. But didn't he say it's for our good in the long run? Yeah. It keeps us out of trials if we're obeying. Keeps us out of storms if we're obeying. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching good. Whoo, glory to God. We got to move forward. Can you say amen to that? Remember, nobody. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Nobody likes correction. Nobody. But if we'll just receive God's corrections and go where he tells us to go. If we'll just say, do you know something, Lord? You're right. My thinking has been all wrong about whatever that subject is in your life. We all have things we need to change, right? So, Lord, what you're showing me about me is absolutely right, and I'm wrong. So I'm gonna make the necessary changes so that my life lines up with your word. See how simple that is? It's called submission. Submit to the Lord. You ain't old enough in the Lord not to submit to him. Amen? Got two amens. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So receiving correction is vitally important. But it's not the pastor that's doing the correcting. I don't care where you're going to church. It's not your pastor that's doing the correcting. It's God doing the correcting. It's his word doing the correcting. Yes, has he called me to be the head disciplinarian at HCCC? Absolutely. And I don't take that job lightly. I study to show myself approved. I ain't bragging on me, but that's what I promised him, that I would bring you a word that would change your life. But it'll only change your life if you're willing to do it. Amen. God does the correcting. His word does the correcting. Are you hearing me this morning? How many of you know your Heavenly Father loves you? How many of you know he wants to expose things in your life that are wrong? How many of you know he's going to expose things in your life that are wrong? Why does he do that? So you can make corrections. None of us are perfect. None of us walked on water. I'd like to have been Peter just for a few minutes, except for the point where he sunk. Amen. Jesus has been the only one on this earth that was perfect. But we correct those things in our life for this reason, so that we can become mature Christians, so that you can grow up to be mature. And the more you grow up, the less things are going to hurt your feelings. How many of you know that? The more you grow up, the less you'll get offended. When pastor says something, comes right out of the word. The more you grow up, it'll take you out of the "you're hurting my feet" section and put you in the amen section. Because amen means "so be it unto me." So when you hear a word of God that you want to have manifest in your life, you ought to be shouting, "Amen, Lord." Because that means, "Yes, Lord, I want that to manifest in my life. I may not be doing it right now, Lord, but I'm gonna submit to your word. I'm not going to keep walking out of this church and just being the person that I want to be. I'm going to walk out of this church wanting to do your will in my life." Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm preaching me happy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whoo! So the question is, my brothers and sisters, how many of y'all are willing to go through the correction process? You got to be willing. You got to be willing to become mature. You can suck on a bottle all your life if you want to, and you'll still get to heaven. But look at what it said. It says you'll suffer the trials and the tribulations if you're just going to stay on the milk. How many of you know babies always cry when they don't get their way? I'll just leave that right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at this in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And listen, I realize there's probably no one in this room and no one watching by live stream this morning that really needs correction. But you may know somebody that does, right? Elbow your neighbor and say, "Wake up, will you?" Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3. If you know somebody, then lead them to the podcast. Or better than that, here's what you can do. Go to your Facebook page, which you're spending way too much time on, and put our message on there to all your friends. Look at all these followers I have. Man, I'm just important. Well, put something on there that might save somebody's life. Hallelujah. And I know some of you are, but all of you need to be doing it. You know, that's how you can spread the gospel. You don't have to be in the pulpit. I'm going to just ask, how many in here got a Facebook page? Come on, God knows the truth. If you got one, raise your hand. I don't be a liar. Hallelujah. Spread the gospel. Put the message on there. HillCountryCowboyChurch.com or something like that. If you don't, if that's not true, she'll tell me, and then you can get with her. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 11, says, "My son, Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, I just want you to help me stay accountable to God's word. So if you see anything in my life, if you see me acting or saying anything wrong, I want you to tell me. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to do it. I've done that. And many have received my counsel and made the changes that they needed to make. But there's also been those that I've counseled that didn't really receive my correction. And I'd say, well, I thought you said you wanted me to hold you accountable to God's word. Yeah, Pastor, but I did say that, but I was just making conversation. I mean, we were in Man Up, remember? When we all decided in Man Up that all the men would hold each other accountable? Well, everybody was raising their hand. I wasn't going to just be the only one that didn't raise their hand. But I didn't really mean it. I don't want you all up in my life. I want to live my life the way I want to. And you know what I say? You asked. You asked me to hold you accountable. Don't ask me to hold you accountable if you don't really want me to hold you accountable. Because I'm going to please him. And I won't come into your business and tell you anything if you don't ask me to. Because you get the same word I do. You don't know how to behave. That's between you and God. You don't know how to follow his word. That's between you and him. But if you ask your pastor to show me and tell me, I'm going to. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I just said I wanted you to speak into my life, Pastor. I didn't really think you'd do it. Don't ask for my help if you don't really want it. Because I'm here to help. I'm a servant. I'm a servant. And I'm going to serve the living God. And I'm going to tell you exactly the way it comes out of the book. Amen? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. Look at this, verse number 12. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. The Living Bible says it this way. It says, young man. I like that. Young man, do not resent it when God chastens and corrects you, for his punishment is proof of his love. How many of you receive his punishment as proof of his love? Just as a father punishes his son, a son he delights in, to make him better, so the Lord is going to correct you. So the Lord is going to correct you and I to make us better. Better than we was yesterday. Amen. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. A child without correction is a child that's without love. A child without correction is a child without love. Why do we correct our children? Is it because we don't like them? Or is it because we love them? Why do we correct our son or daughter when they get out of line and don't do what we ask them to do? Why do we correct them when we see them going the wrong way in their life? It's because we love them. And we want to teach them what is the right way to go. Can you say amen? So what about you and me? What about when we get older and become adults? What about the correction that God brings us? Do we despise correction when we hear the word of God taught? Do we reject his correction? Or do we, as God's children, receive his correction and allow his word to show us the right direction to go? I'm asking. You got an answer, but God knows your answer. We know whether we despise his correction or we receive it. Amen. I told you this would be a hard message. But it's the last one on this series. Can you say amen to that? Woo, man, Pastor. You just been overwhelming us. Hallelujah. Now look at this in Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you, Jake, for that tea. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. You know, we just read that the Bible says whom the Lord loves, he corrects. So God's correction is for our good. And I'm thankful that he does correct me. I'm so thankful because I've traveled down the road, the wrong road, many times. Has anybody ever traveled down the wrong road? And when you got there, you really didn't like what you found? Not that it was a dead end, but you might have had to dredge through some mud and muck to get to where you was going. That's what you call going down the wrong road. And I'm so thankful that when I did travel down the wrong road, that God said, hold up, son. Wait a minute. That's the wrong way. Correct your course. Get back in line with my word. So he was correcting me for what? For me. For my good. Not because he just likes to correct us. How many of you know that the Bible is about God's love? Just a few hands. Can I get a little higher hands? Come on, guys. I'm setting you up. What does he do when he loves us? You just preached my message for me. He corrects us. He don't just say, okay, go off and live your life the way you want to. If you want to change genders, go ahead. If you want to do this, go ahead. You want to be a cat? Go ahead. Is that not what we're seeing in society today? How many of you know God is trying to correct those folks too? But they're so wrapped up in their own flesh, the way they want to do. And I don't not love anybody. Don't get me wrong, especially our visitors. I love everybody. We welcome everybody in this church. But everybody's going to hear the same thing you're hearing this morning. They're going to hear it right from the Word of God. Amen. So I won't get on that subject, but listen, the God does not. I would tell everybody that's watching me by live stream, everybody in here, just because God ain't saying anything about the way you're living does not mean he condones it. And there will be a judgment. Amen. And guess what all of us are going to be judged by? The book. The book that's open in Revelation, one of those books is his Bible. It's the Word of God, and he's going to say, did you live by this? Well, no, but I did confess Jesus one time. Yeah, but did you build a relationship with him? When he corrected you, did you do what he asked you to do? Well, there was only two commandments. How many of you know the two commandments Jesus was talking about? You'll love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. Well, Jesus fulfilled those. Yeah, but if you read the New Testament, he brought another 1,050 with him. Amen. If you love me, do my commandments. That's what Jesus said. He didn't say, if you love me, don't worry about it. Live the way you want to, because I already fulfilled the two commandments. And you confess me one time. Remember that time at the church when you went to the altar and you confessed me? Then you can go ahead and live your life the way you want to. Man, it got awful quiet. I better get back on my notes. That's Holy Ghost teaching right there. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And he scourges every son whom he receives. Look at this, verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Isn't that amazing that this Bible says that? Does everybody's Bible say that? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and you're not sons. Those are strong words. Those are strong, strong words. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best for to them. Do what I tell you to do. I'm trying to lead you. That's what we do as parents. But he, talking about God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of what? Isn't that amazing? Be ye holy as I am holy, the Bible says. So we can be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful. I can agree with that. How many agree with that? No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. We have to be trained to receive God's correction and his chastening. Nobody wants to just automatically do it, right? Isn't that what the scripture was saying? Look at this. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. The Passion Bible says it this way. It says, so be made strong. Not 12 and 13, I'm sorry. It says, so be made strong in your weaknesses by lifting up tired hands in prayer and worship. Isn't that a no-brainer? How many of you know you're supposed to be lifting your hands when you praise God? I got a lot of Baptists in here. But then they grow up and they go, whoo, yeah. Amen. My mama. She used to go to church. She used to go to church. Now she watches it on TV. But she would tell me, she said, yeah, when I go to church, I always sit on the back row. Because she said, I don't want nobody to see me raising my hand. Amen. I said, Mama, you need to be sitting on the front row and let so everybody can see you raising your hand. But my mama loves the Lord. See, Mama, I didn't say nothing bad. She'll watch this. So I got to watch my mouth. I love you, Mom. Hallelujah. I'm not even a football player. Glory to God. Let me read that. Oh, hallelujah. So, lifting up your tired hands in prayer and worship and strengthen your weak knees. For as you keep walking forward on God's paths, all your stumbling ways will be divinely healed. See, as we walk on God's paths, there is no chance to stumble. It's only when we get our eyes off of his path and you don't have to veer very much. You just veer a little bit. And you're going to stumble. What does that tell you to do? Get back on the path. Get back on the path. Let me tell you something. For all those watching by, nobody in here, but all those watching by live stream. God's path is not the middle of the fence. It is not the middle of the fence. It's not the fence. Well, yeah, but I can walk on it. It's pretty wide. I ain't never seen a fence like this before, but I can walk on that thing, and then I can worship God, and then I can go over here, and I can do what I want to, and I can worship God, and I can go over here and do what I want to. My daughter enlightened me on the fence. She said, the devil owns the fence. Every Christian has to make a decision which path they're going to stay on. We cannot walk on both sides of the fence. Now you can, but you get caught on the wrong side and the trumpet sounds, ain't gonna be a good place to get, be. Don't shout me down now. That was a Holy Ghost message to somebody. Hallelujah. So notice when God deals with you about an area of your life, he's dealing with you as a son or a daughter. He's dealing with you as your heavenly father. How many of you know that? I told you last week, and I've told you many times before, when you read the Bible, you need to read your name in there. When he says, if you love me, John, do my commandments. If you love me, John, feed my sheep. Well, how many of you know my commitment to God, and I said this last week, shouldn't be more than your commitment. Pastors don't have a special commitment to God. I was a saint of God before I became a pastor. Amen. And I committed my life in 1997 to do the Lord's will, to do what he told me to do. Have I walked perfect? Absolutely not. But I get back on the path. I ask him for forgiveness and then I get back on the path. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I love the word. He's dealing with you as a heavenly father, and he's saying this. He's saying, if you endured your natural father's correction, then why wouldn't you want to endure your heavenly father's correction? Notice he says, if you will do this, look at this, you will keep walking forward on God's path, then all your stumbling ways will be divinely healed. In other words, he'll hold you up. You get enough of word on the inside of you, it will support you. Amen? In other words, when you and I receive God's correction and we stay focused on his path in our life, then that's when we will quit stumbling. It's really tough to stumble and fall when our eyes are focused on God and his word. And I referenced it earlier, kind of like Peter. As long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on water. Amen. He didn't walk in a puddle. He walked on water. But the minute he took his eyes off the path, off of Jesus, he stumbled and fell, and he got wet. I choose not to get wet. How about you? Hallelujah. Christians should welcome God's correction. I'm going to say that again. All Christians should welcome correction. Saying, Father God, if you see anything that's out of sorts in my life, please speak to me. I want you to speak into my life, Lord. I preach that in here. Hopefully you're asking him to speak into your life. Some of you don't want him speaking into your life. Amen. I didn't say that. The Holy Spirit does. So if that's ministering to you, you need to change. Amen. Speak into my life, Lord. How many of you know he will? How many of you know if you're saved, you got the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of you? How many of you know you can ask to be filled more and more and more and more and more with that Spirit? To where he'll lead and guide you into every truth. He'll lead and guide you on your paths. He'll get you to where you don't have to lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, you'll acknowledge him as your Lord and your Savior. Acknowledge him in all your ways, not just some of them. And again, I'm not preaching if you don't do what I'm saying today that you're going to hell. It just means this life is going to be tougher. Isn't that what we just read? If we don't follow his correction, we're going to have trials, tribulations. Is anybody getting anything today that this is why we go through the trials of life? It's because we're rebellious in nature and we don't want correction? Hallelujah. How many of you are glad this is going to be the last teaching? I can get an amen out of her no matter what. Hallelujah. Thank you, baby. Glory to God. All right, let me move on. Listen, God will speak to you first and foremost through a still small voice called the Holy Ghost. Amen. That you got inside you. But let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit is an absolute gentleman. He will not try to override you. It's a still small voice. So if you're too busy, if you're busy with job, if you're busy with sports, if you're busy with fishing, if you're busy with other things in your life, you're busy with family, you're busy, 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 always busy doing something, you'll never hear him. You got to sit down, take a short course in meditation. I mean, know what a short course of meditation is. Sit down and shut up. Amen. He will not try to overtalk you. I could have stepped in my both feet in a mess right there if I wanted to. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. He'll speak through the Holy Spirit. The second way he's going to speak to you is he's going to speak to you in prayer. If you pray, he'll talk to you. Amen. And don't just give him your laundry list. When you pray, expect to hear it. Say, Father God, lead me. If that's your prayer, it's short and sweet. The first prayer I prayed to Jesus in 1997, because I denied him in a way that I said, your word didn't work for my life. He said, son, you didn't work my word. You wasn't a doer of the word. All you did was hear it. All you did was teach it. Because I was a Sunday school teacher way back in the 80s. You taught it. You read it. You studied it. But you wasn't a doer of it. And James tells us if we're not a doer of the word, we're deceiving ourselves. That's James 1:22. You want to write it down. Hallelujah. Listen, I love each and every one of you, so this is not personal. I'm not thinking of any personal person in this room, okay? If nothing else, I'm preaching to me because I need to change a lot too. We're a work in progress. How many of you know that? Amen. Woo. But just like last Sunday, when God, through his word, starts exposing the things in your life that you should be doing, what do? We make excuses. Well, I would, Lord, but my job just keeps me so busy. Your job don't keep you so busy you don't pray, do you? Can't you pray on the way to work? Can't you talk to him on the way to work? Can't you ask him to lead you on the way to work? How about when you wake up in the morning? Instead of jumping up and going and grabbing your cup of coffee, why don't you sit on the side of the bed just for a few seconds and say, good morning, Lord. I'm here to serve you. What would you have me do today? Is that tough? Is it so tough that we can't give God 45 seconds in the morning? Is it so tough that we can't, when we start our car, we say, thank you, Father God, that you lead and guide me today. Thank you that you lead and guide me on my job. Thank you that I'm a witness to you, Father God. Can I just be honest? I wasn't always this way. I used to be sitting right out there where you're sitting. But here's the thing. And I'm not criticizing the pastor that I was under. But it was more about entertainment than it was about bringing forth the word. That was in the main service. I got all my teaching from Man Up in that other church. Because I had an associate pastor that did nothing but teach the word. You're not going to get entertained in here. Unless you really like the word. I'm going to make you do like Thomas is doing, just squirming, you know, trying to get comfortable. That man loves the Lord. The man next to him loves the Lord. He just spent a week in Rhema Bible College up in Oklahoma, Norman, Oklahoma. I asked him, you're not going back, are you? He said, no, I just wanted to go up there and get a dose. Amen. You got to want God's word, guys. That's where you should be getting your excitement. Wake up in the morning because don't he lead and guide us? How many of you really believe that he'll lead and guide you if you'll just get up and talk to him? We all raise our hands, but how many of us are doing it? How many of us are giving him our best every day, not just on Sundays? Just asking for a friend. Hallelujah. We make excuses why they can't serve in the ministry. Some people repent and ask God to forgive them. Amen. That's what we all need to do. If he nudges us and says, I want you doing this. We've had people in this building right here, and I'm not pointing anybody out, that came up after last week's service about excuses and said, you know something? The Holy Spirit convicted me, and I want to do something. What can I do? Amen. Praise God. That's what the word's supposed to do. It's supposed to get us to where we want to serve him more. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So you'll get it in the word. So I want to say this. The word that comes forth in the message that God is bringing to this church is God speaking to each one of us. This word this morning, you can put your name in there. I need correct. Everybody say that. I need corrected. Thank you, Father God, that you bring your word that does correct me. Now, if you did say that, look out. God's going to really touch you. But he'll make it worth your while. God don't do nothing that he don't bless you more than he corrects you. Amen. But when the word comes forth in these messages, it's God speaking to you and I as a son or daughter. And then you and I as a son or daughter, we got to make a choice. We got to choose whether we're going to receive his correction or we're going to make a choice whether we're going to reject it. Well, that was just that pastor. Let me warn you. Rejecting God's correction carries with it consequences. Rebellion, and when God says something to me, I'll just use me, and I choose to rebel, and I choose to not do that in my life, that is rebellion against God, and it carries with it consequences. Was God going to hit me with a big stick? No. I've told this congregation, I'll tell you again, when you disobey God's word, it opens the door to trials, tribulation. Who brings those? The enemy, Satan. Everybody say Satan. He's got a name. He used to be the angel of praise and worship in heaven. When you disobey God's word, it opens the door to Satan, and he can have his way in your life until you get on your knees and repent, or just stand up and repent and say, Father God, I'm sorry. Now that could be right after you, whoa, I don't want that. I repent, Lord. But until you repent and get back on God's path and ask and receive God's correction and start doing it, it puts you in that area, in that no man's land, where Satan could have his way in your life and God can't do nothing for you because he can't go against this. He cannot go against his word. If God went against his word, the whole world would be destroyed, because that's what Satan's trying to do. Amen. So if I go against God's word, Satan's got a right to me. That's why the Bible says he petitions the saints of God every day. He petitions God for you if you're not obeying God's word. Now, he might come by and try to rub your hair down in your face just to get you to disobey God's word. But that's when you do like Jesus did, and it says, no, Satan, it is written. And I'm going to follow God's word. Can you say amen? I am trying to hurry. But y'all are such a good congregation. Amen. There are consequences that we will have to deal with later if we don't receive God's corrections. And it's not God that brings the hard times. It ain't God that brings heartache. It ain't God that brings trials and tribulations. It is not our Heavenly Father that brings the storms of life. Those things come through rebellion and rejecting God's correction. So when God deals with you, I'm going to talk to each and every one of you. So when God deals with you about something in your life, repent. Amen. Right then, say, Father, I'm sorry. Look at this in Proverbs 13. I got to hurry. Everybody say this, correction will keep me from stumbling. Amen. If you're at home right now, I'm not going to leave you out. You can type that in on Facebook if you're watching my live stream. Type in correction keeps me from stumbling, because it will. You're no different because you're watching at home than those folks in here. This word is for you. Amen. If correction keeps us from stumbling, wouldn't you think that you and I would put a higher priority on obeying God's word? Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer, if you're a scoffer, you need to repent. But a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. The Amplified says, a wise son heeds and is the fruit of his father's instructions and correction. But a scoffer listens not to rebuke. Notice the word says, a wise son or daughter heeds his father's or her father's instructions. And a wise son or daughter heeds God's correction. But a scoffer doesn't want to hear it. They still want to do things their way. Notice God's instruction and correction will produce good fruit. Everybody say good fruit. It's going to produce good fruit in our lives. But I want to be totally honest. In the beginning, correction in my life was very uncomfortable. Just like a lot of you are uncomfortable this morning. Amen. You see, sometimes it really hurts. Because I didn't want to give up a lot of the things I was doing. I just want to hold on to this one. I'll give you all that, Lord, but I want to hold on to this one. How many of you know that didn't work out well for me? But here's the thing. As I told you over there in that other church before we came pastors over here, they taught a form of this, but they didn't teach. I'll put it like this. I told Miss Brenda this. They taught you the destination, but they didn't teach you how to get there. See, every preacher will get up and they'll walk across the stage and they'll be jumping and hollering, get the whole congregation frawled up and man clapping and raising hands and just giving God all the glory. And they'll frawl you up and they'll tell you the destination. You can have this. You can have all the blessings in the world. You can have joy. You can have peace. You can have prosperity. Okay, how? They ain't brave enough to tell you, you got to do something. Here at this church, I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on God. We're going to deal with what to do to get there. You want prosperity, you're going to have to start confessing God's word over your finances. You want healing, you're going to have to start confessing God's word over your body. You want healing in your marriage, you got to start speaking God's word over your marriage. You want your children to be raised right, you got to start speaking God's word over your children. But you cannot speak God's word over anything if you don't have it on the inside of you. And that's what we do here. I'm not trying to be ugly and trying to run y'all, but you come to this church, I'm going to cram the word of God down your throat. I'm going to make you get that past fire out of your mouth. Take this fork. Amen. And let me tell you something. We got a congregation that loves it. Amen. And if our new folks decide to stay here, yeah. Bring a knife and a fork. Amen? Amen. How many people still love me? Glory to God. Isn't God good? Don't he love us? Man, I'm his favorite child because he corrects me the most. Amen. Didn't he say God corrects those he loves? Well, he loves me more than he loves you. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. If we'll receive God's correction, we'll keep moving forward with him. Amen. And the fruit of his righteousness will abound in our life. His righteousness will abound in your life. Amen. Look at this in Proverbs 15. Got 1 minute and 3 pages. Sorry. I'm not going to stop. Brenda keeps telling me to prepare less. And I said, it ain't me. It's the Holy Ghost that takes over in the middle of the sermon and starts just taking over everything. Proverbs 15, verse number 32. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. Ooh. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The Passion Bible says this. It says, refusing constructive criticism shows you have no interest in improving your life. Oh my gosh, really? For revelation, look at this, for revelation, insight, that's God's revelation, giving you revealed word. His revelation to his word only comes as we accept or as you accept correction and the wisdom that it brings. A person says, well, Pastor, here's the situation. This is what I think I ought to be doing, but I need you to tell me if it's right or wrong. Well, you're not right. Because what you're thinking about doing doesn't line up with the Word of God. And I love you, brother. I love you, sister. But your thinking in that situation just isn't right. And you can get mad at me all you want to. But at the end of the day, if what you're wanting to do does not line up with the Word of God, it just is not right. Amen. Let me read that again. Let me go back to the top. I can see 12:20 already coming. I said amen. You know, if what you're doing ain't right, is it right in God's eyes? If what you're doing does not line up with God's word, is it right in God's eyes? We got to line our lives up with his word. Amen? And the thing of it is, if people do get mad, it's usually because they've already made up their mind what they were going to do before they ever come to me and ask me. Don't come ask. If you've already made up your mind which way you're going, don't come ask me. Just go that way. And if it ain't lined up with God's word, all I'm going to tell you, hey, man, trials and tribulations coming. Don't shout me down now. Hallelujah. Pastor, the Lord just blessed me with a new job. And that job, they're going to pay me twice the salary that I was making over here. And I'm going to say, praise God. And then they're going to say, yeah, but the bad news is I'm not going to be able to come to church on Wednesdays or Sundays. I might be able to make a man up every once in a while. What do you think? Wrong question. Because here's what I think. God would not give you a job that's going to take you out of church. God will not give you a job. I don't care how much. The devil will let you make money. You need to get that in your head. The devil will prosper you. But if you come to me and you ask me about blessing a job that's going to take you out of church on Wednesdays, that's going to take you out of church on Sundays, that's going to take you out of church on Monday nights with Man Up, that's going to keep you so busy you're not even going to be able to open your Bible and study? I'm not going to bless that. I'm going to tell you you're wrong. I'm going to tell you you need to find a job that pays you that much. How about your faith? How about believing God for a job that pays you that much money, but you can go to church when you want to? What about prayer? How many of you still love me? Just a few less hands. Listen, I know they're going to pay you a lot of money, but if you'll just stay faithful to God, listen to me. You stay faithful to God, and the blessings that God will pour out on your life will override all the blessings that earthly job can give you. The Bible says it like this. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I love every one of you. But I can't alter the word of God, guys. I just can't. I can't turn away from it. And believe me, I've had conversations with my wife, especially when people leave. Well, maybe I ought to change the way I preach. And I thank God I have an encourager as a wife saying, no, you preach the one if you have to. Because Jesus left the 99 for the one. And each one of you people sitting in this congregation and this man standing in the pulpit has to make up their mind, am I going to be the one that stays? Am I going to be the one that stays with the word? Don't shout me down now. Hallelujah. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Jesus is trying to help us. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 15, the passage says this. Refusing constructive criticism shows that you have no interest in improving your life. He's talking about spiritual life. In other words, we don't hear and do what God's word instructs us to do, then we're going to have no interest in improving our spiritual life. Now watch this in verse 32. It says this. It says that revelation insight, and that is what improves your spiritual life. If you don't get revelation insight from God's word, your life, your spiritual life will not grow. Amen. And that's the word. That's the word of God. I'm not being ugly to nobody. I'm just telling you. If you want to sit here today and you just want to sit it out and go to heaven, then you're welcome to do that. I told Brenda this. I said, but here's the thing. God says, stay on my path. And I used this illustration because sometimes on our road it's a little laundry board where they used to washboard. And when I get off of God's path, it goes boom, boom, hits another chug hole. But when I stay on God's path, it's like a four-lane highway. And I just stay right where God puts me, and the road is smooth. The road in your life will never be bumpy if you'll stay on God's path. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Constructive criticism. How many of you like constructive criticism? Really? Amen. Notice the wisdom of God comes as we accept his correction. And he says if we refuse to accept his correction, then we shut down revelation insight. That's why a lot of people come to me and they'll say, man, I just don't understand the word. I just don't understand the Bible. I said, have you asked God to fill you with his Holy Spirit? Well, no, we'll do that first. Amen. Come back and say, well, I asked him, he filled me, man, and I'm starting to get a little bit, but what else can I do? I said, do you ever sit down and shut up? Because revelation insight says it comes when you're quiet. That's why I tell you guys that think you can't pray and talk to God on the way to work. You need to turn off that country western music or gospel music, whatever you're listening to. And just ask God to give you revelation insight. Amen? Hallelujah. Without God's revelation insight, then we're dependent on our own insight and our own understanding. And how many of you know our own understanding does not, if our own understanding will not line up with God's word, or there wouldn't be a Proverbs 3:5 that says, do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Amen? And I'll be the first to admit, guys, there were times in my life when obeying God's correction was more than a little difficult. But I made the necessary changes because I promised him I would. All you really got to do is promise God that you'll do something. And then when he tells you something and you don't do it, you know what he's going to be doing? He told me he's going to do that. You going to do that today? I don't promise you tomorrow. That's the way he talks to me. I don't know how he talks to you. I love you. I love you, Miss Brenda. You can just take all the time you want to about changing. I'm using her because I'm just trying to stay on the safe side. Amen. She got to go home with me. And I'm glad she does. 51 years of it. Praise God. All right, let's move on. None of us are perfect. Tell your neighbor, you're not perfect. Amen. But God does expect every Christian to start right where they're at today, not tomorrow. Start right where they're at today and learn to receive correction. Can you say amen to that? And for the most part, God's correction will come through his word or through his Holy Spirit. And his word will normally come through the pulpit. Amen? But when you get his word, don't think of it as coming from Pastor John. But see, if you think it's coming from me, yeah. That's why I want everybody to have a Bible. Read it for yourself. All right, we're going to close right here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many of you really want to know what God's word is supposed to be doing? Four of us. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this very familiar scripture. And these scriptures will give us insight into the true purpose of God's word. Look at verse 14. It says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, this is Timothy, and he learned all his stuff from Paul, who got his revelation from Jesus Christ himself. How many of you know that? Amen. And that from a childhood, that's your new birth, that's when you got born again, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 16, 17. Here's where God gives us insight into the purpose of his word. All scripture, not some of them, all of them, every one of them. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, look at this, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's his reason. That's why he gives you a pastor that will preach the uncompromised word of God. Notice in there, all of them are correction, right? But all of them are connected to God's love for you. He wouldn't correct you if he didn't love you. It says all scripture. Amen. That inspired by God, yes, men wrote it, but God inspired it. And look at this. It is profitable. How many of you really want to profit in your business? Three of us. Okay. Anybody over here? Anybody want to prosper in your business? Okay. Look at this scripture. All scripture is given to you that raised your hand about prospering. It's given to you. Everybody didn't raise your hand, you're not going to prosper because you're not going to listen to this anyway. I'm not being mean. I asked you to raise your hand. How many of you want to prosper? How many of you want to profit? It's given to you and it's profitable for your business. So go into your business. You're going to work tomorrow? Go into your business. She just started a new business. Go into your business and speak profit over it. Speak God's word over it. That's a word from Jesus just to you. Amen? And then stand on that word. Stand on it. Thank you, Father God, that you're prospering this business. Thank you, Father God, that I'm following your path. Thank you, Father God, your word says if I believe in you, and I do, that you will supply all of my needs. Thank you that I can do all things through you, Father God, because you are my strength. Speak his word. Speak his word. You help her. Okay? Then hold on. Just hold on. Stand on the word. And he's going to profit that business more than you'll ever think. Amen. I'm not a prophet. I'm just giving you his word. Okay, I don't proclaim to be a prophet. I'm prophesying over your life. I'm just telling you that if you do his word is going to profit your business. Now, how many of you want to profit in your business? Well, the same thing goes to y'all then. Same things forever. The word is the same yesterday and day, today and forever. And it's for every one of us. Amen? And he's not only going to prosper you in the financially, he's going to more than that prosper you in the things of God. He's going to encourage you. Get involved in your church. Start giving something back to God other than your tithes and your offerings. All right, I'm going to move on. We're going to close. Hallelujah. Jake's already up here, so I've got to cut the Holy Spirit off. Look at this. Passion. Every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, which is the breath of God. It will empower you, look at this, by the instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the paths of godliness. Then, everybody say then. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. So what is he saying? He's saying as we sit under the word of God and we will allow God's word to minister to us, his word will correct us and he will give us godly instruction. More importantly, he's telling us when we respond in a positive manner to his correction and show our willingness to follow those instructions, then his plan and his will for your life. How many of you know prosperity is part of that? I mean, you know, peace is part of that. I mean, you know, joy is part of that. Amen. Full salvation package. It's not just fire insurance. Amen. Most people just get their fire insurance and say, okay, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Keep me out of hell, Lord. In closing, let me say this. Yeah, this is my third closing. This series on establishing the godly family has revealed truths from God's word. And those truths will absolutely transform our lives, our families, our marriages. We always say God's Bible has all the answers. Then why do we go to marriage counselors? Why do we go to counselors? You got the counsel in your lap because nobody knows any more than God does. Can I get an amen? Amen? But it will absolutely transform our personal lives, our marriage, our children. But that transformation, listen to me, will only come when you and I are willing to receive God's correction. Can you say amen to that? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you for being patient. I think I'm just going to put it out on the internet. Our service is going to run from 11 to 12:15. Amen? Let me ask you this. How many of you are willing to receive God's correction? Let me see a show of hands. Hallelujah. How many have enjoyed this teaching? How many of you are glad it's over? Amen. Listen, to everybody who didn't see it, hear all five sessions, please go to our website and listen to every one of them. For those who did and have children, go back to the website and listen to all of them. Can I get an amen? Amen. We always close every service with giving everyone an opportunity to repent. How many of you know the first words out of Jesus' mouth when he came down from being tempted to the devil was repent? He didn't come down and say, I love you. He came down and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heaven came down. Hallelujah. Well, we want to give everybody an opportunity, especially after a message like this, to go before God's throne and get real with him. Everyone in here, with every head bowed and every eye closed, everyone in here knows whether you're walking in God's word the way he wants you to. And every one of you know that if you're not walking in God's word, you need to change and get on his path for your life. And with that in mind, everyone in this building and everyone watching my live stream this morning, if this message has touched your heart and you know that you need to be on a different path, I want you to just slip a hand up and put it right back down. Hallelujah. God's seen all those hands, almost every hand in this building. And I know probably a lot of hands in the audience by live stream, they raised their hands. Let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I've heard your word. Your word has pricked my heart. And I know that I'm not living for you the way I ought to be. Come into my heart. Renew my heart. Give me a hunger for your word. Help me to change. I can't change without you, Father. So I'm coming before your throne, and I'm coming humbly to ask you to help me. Help me to be more like Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son. He came to this earth so I could live and come to this church to hear this word. I know you led me here, so I'm going to do what you're telling me to do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. We're going to grow because we're going to do his word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I forgot to tell those who got their visitor's cards, and we're just going to pray, that after service, take your card through that double door, give it to that young lady who just walked out. She's waiting on you out there at the Welcome Center. Give that card to her. We got a gift for you. How about that? Giving gifts. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father God, for this word. We thank you that the word is not going to return void, but it will prosper in the thing which we sent it, Father God. It will fall on the hearts of your people. It will change them from the inside out. The folks that's in this building, those watching by the live stream, will never, ever, ever be the same if they'll do this word. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Remember this. We serve a miracle-working God. And you are always next in line for your miracle. You're dismissed.